Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially these words. Take, this is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. This is the text. And so right to the point, what is it? It is the living, risen from the dead, state of exaltation, using the power of God always and every way, body and blood of Jesus, with the power of Easter and the resurrection that Jesus gives us to eat and drink. And when he says, this is my body, this is my blood, he means it. But let's be precise. Let me tell you, as I tell the confirmation class, and those who have been through confirmation with me, they will recognize this. It is the same body that was born for us, laid in the manger, was tempted out in the wilderness, went through the Holy Land, doing miracles and teaching and preaching, that knelt in the garden, that was arrested, beaten, mocked, whipped, was spat on. The same body that carried the cross and was nailed to it, that died there, was laid in the tomb, and on the third day rose from the dead glorious with the victory of life and all the power of God. That is what Jesus calls us to eat and to drink. Easy question. What makes it so? Jesus said it. That's all you need. The Word of God, that life-giving, sin-forgiving, faith-producing, faith-renewing, faith-strengthening, faith-keeping means of grace thing that God uses to make you His. That Word tells you. So this evening, what we propose to do is to take the holy, sinless body and blood of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, with all the power of the resurrection and all the holiness of God, who just by speaking creates the entire universe, the power of God that cannot be contained in normal earthly things except for when Jesus is conceived and born and comes into the world, that power. And we propose to put it on your tongue and into your body, and unleash all the power of God within you. What could possibly happen? Oh, that's a fun question to ask, isn't it? What could possibly happen? Sins forgiven, faith strengthened, bodies rising from the dead on the last day. You connected to God and God connected to you. And out of that connection, Jesus says that you are all joined together in one body. And by the way, this is a forward-looking meal. Did you hear what he said at the end of the gospel? I will not drink it again until I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And on the day of the resurrection, when we rise with these bodies glorified by the power of God coursing through them, when these bodies rise, these that are connected to Jesus Christ by faith, by the word of baptism, having his own name given into you. He speaks his word over you in your baptism and he signs his work, doesn't he? And by his body and his blood given to you to be within you, you will see God face to face and rejoice. But wait a minute. Wait just a minute, because we're talking Maundy Thursday here, and that first Maundy Thursday was a day of confusion, a day of surprise and amazement for the disciples. Disciples who are in way over their heads, and they either have no hope or even less hope of understanding what's going on. But Jesus doesn't stop to ask their opinion, does he? And so it begins with Jesus gathering his disciples at the table and then getting up to wash their feet. And then he sits down and tells them that one of them will betray him. Who is it, Lord? Who is it, Lord? The one that I give the morsel to. The morsel that, by the way, was a special part of the Passover feast that you gave to somebody who was a treasured and dear friend. As Jesus reaches out with his grace, even to the betrayer. And if it's not enough, overwhelming and beyond their understanding, to find that he is caring for them in that way. Then he sets out the bread and wine and says, "Take, eat, this is my body and this is my blood of the New Testament shed for you." And as they're wondering about this, everything begins to go in motion. And the going in motion seems to them like it's all going off the rails. Out to Gethsemane for an appointment with his Father, to fall on the ground and pray in agony, and then to be arrested, abandoned, denied, betrayed, stand trial, be spit on, beaten, mocked, and crucified, and then he's dead. And it comes in a whirlwind, and the disciples had to be asking, where's God in all of this? Where was God? My God, why have you forsaken me? That doesn't make it better, does it? But this is the place where God teaches us theology. This is where it's not your normal religion, but God teaches us the truths about him that we've been calling mysteries ever since for the last almost 2,000 years. This is Jesus who came not to be served but to serve. Jesus who said, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus who went to the cross and the first thing he said from the cross was, "Father, forgive them." And what he does without our being able to grasp and understand any of it, including this supper, where Jesus still takes bread and wine and gives it to you and me with the words, "My body, my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And all the supper always, this was to me, always seems to be beyond my ability to fully grasp what is going on, the effects of what Jesus does for us and in us by this meal. are infinitely far-reaching and eternal. All that was done on the cross, he wraps up and puts into this meal and offers it with the words, given and shed for you. On the cross, he offered himself to his Father as a sacrifice for sins. In the supper, he offers and gives himself to you to strengthen your faith and feed your soul. And so we can believe and be convinced deep down about his love. That's why we repeat those words so often, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That's why the confirmants had to recite them, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, right? Oh, yeah. And we say that these words, as they are joined with the eating and drinking, are the most important thing in the sacrament. It's a supper for sinners where God calls you close to himself. So, get this picture firmly in your minds. Jesus sitting at the table with 12 sinners. 12 sinners sitting there about to abandon or deny or betray him. And he holds out the bread to them and says, "Take, eat, this is my body." It is the most astonishing gift of free grace from God offered to sinners who can't ever be worthy of it, not even if we work at it our whole lives, which we do not. But you see, his words call you to come and eat and drink. They call you to come in wonder and in faith, never really being fully able to grasp completely what is being done here, but to come because the words call you. And down through the ages, he calls you. Because he is Jesus. And this is what Jesus is like. And this is what God is like. He is different from what any human being has ever dreamed up or imagined God could be. This is Jesus. But this is not just something to talk about. This is not a spectator sport. This is something where Jesus calls you and tells you to come and have his body on your tongue, his blood on your lips, and be joined to him. This is real life. Because you know, the only life that is real is the life that comes from God. And the only life that is real for us in this world that can be real enough to carry us through this world and into eternity in life. The only life that can do that is that of Jesus. So he comes to give himself to you. And we come to eat and to drink and to receive what he gives. To come wondering at it. And to leave wondering at it. And to spend the whole rest of our lives wondering at it. My guess is all of eternity wondering at it. This is His grace for you. In Jesus' name, amen.